Lance Mackey, you're in your 24-hour layover here at the Iditarod checkpoint. You're in your long underwear and slippers out with your dog team. It's above 40 right now.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, I've never been to Hawaii, but this is kind of what I'd feel would be equivalent to Hawaii weather. Last time I was here, it was about the same. That was the year John Baker won. 2 years prior to that, it was 50 below. So I guess the years are flying by. Holy crap. Seems like just a couple years ago.
Now there's three of you who right kind of smack in the middle of taking your 24-hour layover, leaving tonight. Talk about that move and talk about that decision. Is that something you're happy with now, or what's going on in your mind regarding that decision?
Well, this was, I mean, from the trail that we had getting over here. No, originally I had planned on going all the way to Anvik for my 24. But the trail getting to here, pretty demanding. The trail from here over to Shagluck sounds even more demanding. Lots of overflow, soft trail. This is a young team, and they just had, again, a stellar performance getting here, and I didn't want to give another run like that and maybe take the wind out of their sails, so to speak. So it's going to be nice leaving tonight when it firms up a little bit. Now we got a set of tracks in front of us. Mr. Boozer's on the move. So, no, I don't think it was a bad decision at all. In fact, I think he's going to benefit this team. And I have this gut feeling we'll be seeing Mr. Boozer by his, by Caltag at the latest.
And, I mean, the whole argument that you take your 24-hour later on in the trail, then your team is that much fresher leaving here than the teams who took their 24 into Katna. So leaving here, your dogs are going to be in fine fashion, I assume, heading to the Yukon. And it sounds like, I mean, you never know what you're going to get there.
Well, the rumor is at the moment there's going to be 30 to 50 mile an hour winds. That's always in our face. So if that's the case, there's not going to be much of a trail. They'll be pretty blown in if, in fact, that's the way it turns out. It's just, it's part of the Iditarod. You got to kind of go with the flow and be expecting the unexpected and expect the worst and hope for the best. And that's kind of my approach on this next section, and the next part of the race. I'm farther ahead, time-wise and position-wise than I ever expected to be in this with this group. So, looking at the race prior to here, time-wise, I'm as fast or faster than most of the teams, which is just blowing me away. So I'm gonna keep their speed up and their enthusiasm up. And I was just talking to Mr. King about that. I don't personally believe we need a 24-hour break. I think we should either cut that 24 into three breaks, mandatory breaks, or two 12s. That's just that's just me. I don't know how everybody else would feel about that, but
because you don't feel the dogs really need
they
it or
don't.
benefit from it.
They absolutely don't. They're, for the majority of these teams, an 8 hour rest is a long rest, and they bounce back. These dogs recover amazingly fast. Some teams might need more rest than that because of the way they drive them. And I'm not saying people don't know what the hell they're doing, but there's some people out here who don't know what the hell they're doing, and the farther you go and the more you race 1,000 miles, the more you learn. And, I still have a lot to learn, no doubt about it, but I'm just going on what my team has told me over the years. 24 hours is just a little too much. It's good for us.
Right.
Prior to coming to Iditarod, I got 1 hour of sleep. So I came here, I was pretty much a zombie. I've slept, I don't even know how many hours, I'm just like the dogs. You get too much sleep and you're tired.
Yeah, that's very odd, isn't it?
Isn't that weird? So that's, again, that's part of my theory. We don't need 24 hours. These dogs are, they're amazing. Their recovery time and their...
Right, and the 24-hour break, that's a rule that's been there forever. And the race has changed so much. The modern race is, the modern dog has changed so much. The mindset, the way it's run,
absolutely,
the way it's rested.
So I'm,
the conversation begins.
Right, and we've, over the last few years, everybody in the sport, we've had different conversations of different things to maybe change. And
now, let's talk about the dogs. I'd like to, get a few more words on that. You didn't expect them to do as well as they're doing. What's going on? It's a young team, from what I understand. What? So what is it? What's going on? How is this working? How are you able to be where you're at today?
Well, first off, I started off very conservative. So right away, they weren't interfered with the checkpoint routine and the distractions. They got quality rest. And they, you know, this is a group that I haven't really worked with all that much. So I wanted them to know that I'm part of that team. I'm not just pulling in, giving them some food and straw and taking off and going to bed or something. And I think that's part of, you know, being part of the team. I tell them all the time, I'm the 17th dog, so mm-hmm. I want them to know that. And I think it just helped build some of their confidence, maybe. You know, young dogs are pretty known to go fast, but you don't know how much depth they have, you know. The majority of this team didn't get to do one race this year. Not one. Which was a little bit odd for my kennel, but we had some issues. Things just didn't work out the way they were supposed to this year with that. I ran one race at the beginning of the race year, the Top of the World 350, and then I had a disaster in the Quest, and, you know, all those dogs, with the exception of four, are at home. So,
and I mean, I'm just imagining that, taking a young dog team out and not really knowing them. I mean, not having raised them at all. And looking ahead and looking at next year's Iditarod and the year after. Yeah. You know, they're going to be dogs that are going to be running for a while.
Absolutely.
You've got to be pretty pumped about.
Well, you can't help but think about the future sometimes. There's three dogs that I never even been on a camping trip with. Because these are dogs that weren't supposed to be in my team. These are Braxton's team. So, you know, I was going on him and his word and what, you know. He's been around me since he was a little boy. He knows what I'm looking for and the kind of dogs I like. And I value his opinion. So when he told me these three, well, I took them and I didn't hesitate. So you know, I'm not ever one to talk cocky, or I'm not conceited, or you know, whatever, but I feel that a young team like this that can perform at this level this year, regardless of how they finish this race or who wins this race this year, this is the team to beat next year, no doubt in my mind. So, you know, if that sounds cocky, well, then I'm being cocky, but that's not how I feel. I don't feel it's being cocky at all. I see what they're doing. I see the teams around me. I see that there's no young teams out here running at this performance. You know, these are veteran dogs. Stevie's got a veteran team. King's got veteran teams. Martin's got veteran teams, and yet I'm out running them with a bunch of, you know, adolescent two-year-olds. So, I mean, you can't help but think like that. And that's just an encouraging, you know, it keeps me smiling. I really wasn't smiling too much going into this race. And I didn't even want to be here. I didn't even want to be here, you know. It was like that, you know. It was just, I can't always be upbeat when you're being beat down, you know. And I keep getting beat down, and it's hard to stand up. But these guys have definitely revived my attitude and my enthusiasm and just my whole approach. Is I was, you know, I got this film crew following me around, and I was thinking, well, you know, they paid me to do this. I've already basically won the Iditarod. I'll give them what they want. My original plan leaving was not what played out so far. So they're scrambling to get to places ahead of me and get what they're looking for too. And
well,
I don't know.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't want to take any more of your time. I know you have a lot to do, and you know, you want to rest some, I'm sure, during your layover. So thanks so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. You as well, always.
Lance Amaki at the Iditarod checkpoint and reporting for Iditarod 41. I'm Lorelei Kinnean.